Blog Talk Radio.
Budweiser beer, the king is second to
none. Who drinks Budweiser? You know the type. The people who grind. Those who don't back down. And the ones who don't quit. They say all people are 6 degrees of separation away from each other. But some are just a six-pack away. The people who share the same spirit share the same beer. This Bud's for you.
Money talks. So put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be A Voice. Cash App, $, Be A Voice Tour. That's $, BEAVOICETOUR. Be A Voice Tour. Or donate via Venmo at Be A Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be A Voice office at 844-642-8378. Extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a voice today. This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. You're now tuned into WBNN News Forum, brought to you by Guilty Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J. Hey, everybody. This is your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, the queen of justice. Tonight is Sunday, March 19th, 2023. And tonight on News Forum, women making history in the present day. Tonight's guest on this segment, political candidate Marianne Velez, running for Luzerne County Council, and Amanda McElmurray, running for Philadelphia City Council at large. Find out why these women are running, what have they done in the past as far as politics is concerned, have they done advocacy work, have they been an activist? Find out what they plan on bringing to the table of injustice to bring about justice. Also tonight on News Forum, another black young man has been murdered by Memphis police. The case and story of Jalen McKenzie. 20-year-old Jalen McKenzie was shot and killed by Memphis police officers December of 2022. Tonight, Jalen's mother, Ashley McKenzie Smith, is seeking justice and answers for the death and murder of her son, Jalen. The MPD are not providing any answers to Ashley.
nor have they given her any reports. They have not cooperated with Ashley and her family at all. She's seeking justice, and we, the people, have to speak up and speak out and be a voice for Ashley and her son, Jalen. So tonight, we cry out, justice for Jalen. Justice for Jalen. Justice for Jalen McKenzie. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with the girl, Chinchilla J, will be right back after this. Fight the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Peru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Peru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 111. To continue the advocacy work, to free the wrongfully incarcerated, to end mass incarceration, and child life without the possibility of parole. For more information, contact Be a Voice at 844-642-8378, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m., extension 111. Be a Voice today. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum with the girl Chinchilla J now has over
21
million listeners. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Times Multimedia. Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor and investigative reporter. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, share a story of injustice or corruption, or ask a question to one of our guests, please press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Please keep in mind that while News Forum is a very controversial show with many controversial topics as well as controversial callers and guests, and while we allow freedom of speech for all, we ask that you refrain from using profanity. And also, keep in mind that some of the views of our guests, as well as our hosts, are not always the views of News Forum, WBNN, or Ngozi Times Multimedia. To reach Chinchilla Jonesia after the show, you may call her Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Ms. Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia, on Facebook, and at Princess Chinchilla on Instagram. Chinchilla has one L. And now, here she is, host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla Jay. Hey, hey, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. And tonight, we have a two-part show tonight. We're going to be speaking to two political candidates tonight. And as I said before, each week we will be having different political candidates on because primaries are coming up. And in the city of Philadelphia and also the whole state of Pennsylvania, our primary is on May 16th. And we will also be featuring other candidates as well
from different cities in a country, and because everybody has a primary. Some people's primary starts in March, April, May, even June. Okay, so we're going to be talking with different candidates, and this year, up for re-election, we have a lot of city council people up for re-election. The mayor seat is available, and so we're going to have some of those candidates on next month, which is going to be very, very interesting. But tonight, I have two council people. One is for Philadelphia Council at Large, and the other is for Luzerne County Council. And we're going to be speaking with them tonight. And, you know, it really breaks my heart every time I hear of another black male being slaughtered out here in the streets. And, you know, they're being slaughtered left and right. And sometimes it's from racist cops, and we've even had it happen by black cops, or actually, you know, the crime committed by black police officers. And then we have all of this black on black crime. Where does this crime end? When does it end? It's so ridiculous. It's so frustrating. It's so upsetting. And this is another case out of Memphis, everybody. You know, a few weeks ago, last month, we talked about the Tyre Nichols case, and it's just ridiculous. So we did a show on that, and now here's another young man, a 20-year-old, who was shot by Memphis police officers. And this actually happened before the Tyre Nichols murder. This happened in December of 2022. But it was like hush, hush. No one knew about it. It's just ridiculous. And these police officers are not providing any answers for this mother. And it's just so very wrong. And it reminds me of the show last week where Karen Brooklyn's was one here talking about her son, Marcus. And those police officers, they provided no answers for her. They still have not given her a police report. And thank God she now has Rania that will be handling all that for her. And, you know, so thank you again so much, Rania, my friend Rania Major. Thank you for handling those for Karen. But it's a sad situation in this country where police officers get away with murder. They get away with falsifying evidence, throwing people in jail unlawfully. They get away with kidnapping innocent people, taking them away from their families. They can do whatever they want to do, basically. Why? Because for the most part, they have immunity, which is a sad thing, when they should not. They all should be held accountable for their actions, their deeds, what they have done to others. They need to be held accountable. And we're making sure, right, the Wrong Coalition, that things start to change in this country as far as the legislation, because police officers need to be held accountable. So does prosecutors, and so does judges that are not doing the right thing in their courtrooms. So we're going to keep fighting to make sure that laws are changed in this country, because it's so very wrong what goes on here. And we have some candidates that they're going to be talking tonight. But before we get to my candidates, I want to bring on the mother of Jalen McKenzie. And before she comes on, we're going to play our signature song, Stand Up for Your Rights, by Bob Marley.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Thank you so much, Brother O, for playing that track for us tonight. And again, everybody, welcome to News Forum. I am your host, Chinchilla Jonesia. And tonight, we have another very touching show, a very sad show during this first segment because of what has taken place in Memphis, Tennessee. And here we have another mother who is grieving the loss of a child, a son, a 20-year-old. And, wow, it's just so ridiculous. And I am just so sick and tired of what is going on in this country. And we need more people to speak up and speak out, everybody, against all of the injustice that's going on in this country. And when we see situations such as these, how can you be quiet? I mean, do you care? You should. And if you don't, you need to. Because why wait for it to happen to you, okay? If it happens to you, then you will want others to speak up and help and stand up and be a voice for you and your loved ones. So why not do it for others now, okay? Because we have to stand up together and fight, everybody. We have to. It's so very crucial, especially now, because things are not getting better. They're getting worse. And it's crazy. So let's bring on Ashley McKenzie Smith, the mother of Jalen Smith. I'm sorry, the mother of Jalen McKenzie. And Let's welcome her to the show. And for those of you tuned in tonight, once again, if you're listening via the World Wide Web tonight and you want to talk with us, you must dial in 516-453-9133 and press 1. And you'll be placed into the caller queue. And we'll be opening up the phone lines different intervals throughout the show. And if you're already on via phone tonight, press 1, okay? And the same thing pertains to you. Ashley, how are you tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
And welcome.
I first want to thank you for the opportunity of letting us get on here and talk about Jalen. It's kind of hard to, you know, get the message out. But honestly, I'm taking one day at a time. I get that question a lot, and it just varies from moment to moment, minute to minute, second to second, day to day. Some days are better than others. Some days I don't want to get out of my bed. Some days my anxiety is just out of the world. So it's just one moment at a time.
Okay. Now, before we talk about what happened, now, Jalen was 20 years old. And now, with Jalen, your only child, do you have more children?
Jalen is my only biological child. I have two children through marriage. But, yes, he's my only biological child.
Okay. And how old are your other children through marriage?
They are, Naya will be 3, and Jaden will be, he'll be 14 this year, so he's 13 at the moment.
Okay. Wow. So tell us about Jaden. What was he like growing up as a young man? Tell us about your son.
All right. Jalen's always been a really quiet child, one that really stays to itself. You would have to go check on Jalen because Jalen would get into things. He had been probably 2 or 3. And I remember telling my mama, close the doors behind you because Jalen's going to get in it. And he got into some Vaseline and baby powder, and he had it all over him. So he was busy, but he was really, really quiet. He was a good baby. Didn't do a lot of crying and anything like that. And he was one of those children that always asked why. I remember telling Jalen, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to know a why to everything. And yes, he did. He had to know why this, why that. And he was a thinker. He thought outside the box, very positive person. You know, his biggest thing is, don't be negative. No, mommy, that's negative. Don't say that. Mommy, if you speak negative things, the negative things going to happen. He was one of those children. Really good kid. He liked to meditate. He loved his crystals. He would wear his bracelets and his crystal bracelets all the time. Had to have them. I remember one Christmas he asked for a crystal wand. I thought that was the weirdest gift ever. But he was really into the spirituality and more of a holistic lifestyle. He would go on fast where he didn't eat meat. He would just do fruits and vegetables. And this is a 20-year-old. He'll sit on the porch and just look at the sun and be like, Mom, you got to open up your third eye. If you don't open up your third eye, you're going to miss out on stuff. And he's just like, Mom, sit there and just watch the sun. You know, just got a sun gaze. And I'm just like, this boy here. When we went on a spiritual fast together, I didn't think that my 20-year-old would beat me into the knowledge of that lifestyle. He surpassed me. We did it together, and we started with meditation and candles and things like that, and then he just blew me.
Wow. Sounds like a remarkable young man. Now, what is Jalen's birthday?
Jalen's birthday is February the 6th. And so when you played Bob Marley,
yes.
I said, oh, my goodness, this is like, I believe in just, you know, things happening and signs and things like that. And I'm like, she just played Bob Marley. Are you serious? We just did this thing for Jalen because he turned 21 this year on the 6th. And I'm like, and we chose that because Bob Marley and Jalen had the same birthday. And Jalen loved music. He wanted to be a rapper. He wrote. He wanted to produce. He just was really, really, really into music. And he gets that from both sides of our family, his dad's side as well as my side. So he's just always been into music. I remember there's a college in Atlanta called Mars Brown where they used to have this big band, and then the alumni band director one day, we went, me and my son, and I'm trying to think how we got there, but anyway, we was there for a practice that they was having for alumni, and he played some notes and asked Jalen to play it back, and he said, if you can play these notes back, then I'll train you. And Jalen played the notes back, had never heard them before, and played exactly the notes back to him, and then he started taking music lessons with him. So, yeah, so Jalen's always been really, really into music. And so when you played that, I was like, oh, my goodness. And I sent you some pictures, and I was like, oh, gosh, this is crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that message. I was like, oh, wow, you said they have the same birthday. I'm like, whoa, that is really something. Wow. So, yes, Jalen, a very special young man. Now, you live in Atlanta. And so now, was Jalen born and raised in Atlanta?
Yes, Jalen was born and raised in Atlanta. His dad's side is from Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
So he was visiting his father and his siblings out there in Memphis. He went to Memphis, the day before Thanksgiving? And he stayed up there a little bit longer because he had some vacation days that he had to use before he lost them. And I literally had 4 hours before he died, I texted him his Megabus ticket information because he was going to come that following weekend back home. And then 2 hours I spoke to him verbally before he died.
Wow.
Or I should say before that incident happened.
Wow. And so now, Ashley, now what do you know about the incident and what happened? I understand he was in the car with some other young guys, and they were pulled over for a traffic stop?
Yeah, so honestly, we really don't know what happened. What we have gathered from that night is what we've read off of Google, is what we've seen when Fox 13 went live. That is the information that's all the information we have. TBI, North Memphis Police Department, has yet to actually really tell me what happened. So from what we gathered from the internet, it was four boys in a car. Jalen was a passenger. And the police tried to make a traffic stop. The driver fled, drove the car into American Way Park, and the boys got out and ran. And they chased Jalen on foot, and they said that Jalen shot at them, and then they shot him, and they returned. That is what the media has put out. They also has put out that all four boys were in black and that they all were armed. Now, that is what really got me digging to figure out what happened that night, because if there's only one person that you caught and he's deceased, how can you say they all were armed?
Yeah.
We're talking about 11:45 at night. It's impossible that you would have saw that.
Wow.
So that's what started all these questions about what happened. So we don't know what happened. I just know that from his death certificate that he died from multiple gunshot wounds. We do know that. We do not know how many times he was shot. We do not know. They never said a gun was recovered.
Yes, I was about to ask you, did they have a gun? If he was armed and had a gun, where's the gun? Okay.
Yeah, we don't know. They haven't told us anything. Everything they tell us is under investigation. It's under investigation. And even when they called me on the 17th to tell me that my son was deceased, me and the representative who called me, because they didn't even say who they were initially, where they was questioning me. And I'm like, well, what you want? You know, you calling me at 7:00 in the morning, and you're not being specific. So finally they came around and said, well, do you know who Jalen McKenzie is? And I said, yes, that's my son. And then they asked my name, and I told them my name. And then they said, well, he was involved in a police-involved shooting, and he's deceased. They didn't warm me up to anything. They didn't say condolences.
God.
They didn't say I'm sorry. They didn't say anything. You called me at 7:00, went straight to the point to tell me that my child was dead.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I am so sorry. So sorry, Ashley, and my heart really goes out to you for the loss of your son, and that you're going through this and they're not giving you any answers. Now, as far as the hospital and the coroner there in Memphis, they did not provide you with any reports.
He didn't go to the hospital. He was pronounced dead December the 17th at 12:11 a.m. So less than 30 minutes from when they said that the incident happened at 11:45, he was pronounced dead. We're not sure about the media, the medical personnel that were there, or how long they tried to help him out or see if they can save him. We don't know anything about that. We were denied an Open Records Act to get body cam footage, dash cam. We asked for all the personnel names that was on the scene from the traffic stop to the crime scene. Mm-hmm. We also asked for the Sky Cop cam because they said there was one out there on the news. You can see one on one of the pictures, but we asked for that footage. We asked for the lights, any cameras that's on the lights that's police affiliated as well as city affiliated, and they told us no. And we actually did an open records request 3 times, family in Memphis, and they never responded to those. I was not able to do one personally because you have to be a Tennessee resident to file for open records request, and I don't have a Tennessee, ID or library card or anything because I'm not from Tennessee. But when we retained a lawyer, he did the third one, and we got that denial back on March the 3rd. It was actually sent out February 23rd and got the denial back March the 3rd. So they said no very quickly.
Wow. Wow.
Yep, very, very quickly. What we did read in articles, like I said, everything was pretty much off of Google that we got the information from, was that the traffic stop was for, they thought the car was suspicious. But they never said in the article, one article that we read from HuffPost said that there is a report, but in the report it did not say why they said the car was suspicious or why they did the traffic stop. Nor did Memphis Police Department say that Jalen shot first until TBI started questioning them. When I went to Memphis February the 3rd, they told me there was no report.
Wow. Wow. And everybody, if you're wondering what TBI is, that's Tennessee Bureau of Investigations.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Now, let me ask you this, Ashley. Mm-hmm. So now Jalen was in Memphis with family. Does anyone know who the other two guys that he was with? Does anyone know who they are?
The other three?
Yes, the other three guys.
Yeah, the other three guys. We do know of one. The other two we do not know of.
Okay.
And that other one, I'm not going to say because he's a minor.
Okay. The one
but
that you
yeah.
do know?
Okay. The one that we do know, yes.
Okay.
Now, the other
so
two
has...
we do not, but that one that okay. one person that is a minor is from Memphis, so he knows the other two.
Okay, so he knows the other two. And
mm-hmm.
Okay, and now, and you said Jalen's father in Memphis?
Yep, Jalen's father is in Memphis, yes.
Okay. Okay, so from his end, is he trying to get any answers? Is he going to detectives and trying to figure out what's going on and to find out if they have brought in that minor for questioning to find out who these other guys are?
So actually, to be honest, his Memphis family actually started with going to like different protests.
Uh-huh.
They went to the medical examiner's office and they were denied to see his body. So we didn't even identify Jalen's body until he came to Georgia. They wouldn't
okay.
let anyone see him. So they started.
So they
the
would
process.
Not let. Wait, okay, let me stop you right there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You right. said that they did not allow Jalen's father to view his body?
No, they would not. And they he went there more than once. The second time
oh
that
my
he
God.
Went, I asked him to call me on video chat so that I could see who he was speaking to and hear from it myself, just like if they need me to say, yeah, you can see him, you know, just make sure that if they needed me, I was there, I was available. But
right.
the representative at the medical examiner's office said that, he can't see his body. He asked, well, can you tell me how many times my son was shot? And she said, no. He said, well, can you tell me that whether or not he got shot in the head? She said, no, he didn't get shot in the head, but I can tell you that they lit him up.
Wow. So that was multiple times.
So we don't know how many times Jalen was shot. Still till today. And we
wow.
put him in the ground January the 6th.
Wow. So when Jalen's body arrived here.
Mm-hmm. To Georgia.
Did it just go to the funeral home or?
So
how
the
was
way
it
that
handled?
Process. Yeah, the way that process worked was we had to go through our funeral home that we were using here. And then what they did was they reached out to the mortuary that they use in Memphis. And that mortuary picked up his body from the medical examiner's office and did the embalming. Then once the embalming was done, then Jalen was shipped here to Atlanta.
Okay, so his body arrived in Georgia and they did the embalming in Georgia.
No, they
in
did the embalming in Tennessee. No, in Tennessee,
okay,
in Memphis.
I'm sorry.
No,
okay,
yeah, you're
so
fine.
Now,
because you can't
okay,
cross
so,
state lines without being embalmed.
Right, right. So now, was an autopsy ordered on Jalen's body?
An autopsy was done there in Memphis, but we're not able
so
to get the results
done.
because they're saying
yeah,
that
I thought
it's
that
under
you had
investigation.
Said that it was
mm-hmm.
done. Okay, and that's wrong. So they have not provided the results of the autopsy. And
no.
that information really as the family should be privy to because, you know, that's your son. So, okay, oh my gosh. And now
yeah.
do you all have an attorney?
Now we have an attorney now. We didn't have one initially. So our attorney has handled that. What they're going to do now is they're going to go back to the table to try to do this Open Records Act, but separate
okay.
certain things and see whether or
okay.
not they'll give us a portion of what we asked for versus just denying the whole thing.
Right. Okay.
So that's okay. What we're working on now and see what happens okay. From that.
Okay. Yeah, because that autopsy report is something that definitely should have been given. Medical examiners are supposed or required. Now, maybe I don't know if it's different in Tennessee, but I know here the medical report, the medical examiner, they're supposed to speak with the family. The families are supposed to come in and look at the body and identify the body, and they're supposed to tell them, you know, what happened and what they think the cause of death was and all these other things. And, you know, this is just
crazy.
Yeah,
that's how it is in Atlanta as well, and that's why we were so shocked. But, you know, to me, I just read cover up. I just read that there's an issue, that something else went wrong that they're trying to cover up. Even when I asked, when will Jalen's body be ready so that I can come to Memphis, I was told it wouldn't be ready till the end of the week. And so we were waiting on a call. I was waiting on a call to go, you know, that call to go to Memphis to view my son's body, identify him. Never got it, which was why I was on his dad's back about keep going up there, you know, keep going up there and see, you know, what's going on. I was, like, really on him because they had not called and they weren't saying anything. And when we called them, they weren't answering the phone. We left voice messages. They didn't return them. So I kind of got on him like, look, I need you to go down there. You're the closest. You know, please go see what's going on. And then what's very interesting that adds really craziness to the story is the same day that he went and they would not let him see him, I got a call 3 hours later saying Jalen's body was ready for pickup, for the mortuary to pick his body up.
Wow. My goodness.
But you wouldn't let us view him. So you would let the mortuary come get him, but the family could not identify him.
Right. That is ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Ashley, stay right on the line, okay?
Okay.
We're going to take a caller, and then I'm going to bring on Pastor Francetta Mays of the Tulsa, Oklahoma NAACP briefly to speak with you. So stay right there. And everybody, again, you're tuned into News Forum tonight with your host, Chinchilla Jonesia, and I'm speaking with Ashley McKenzie, the mother of Jalen McKenzie, who was shot and killed by Memphis police officers December of 2022. And after we're finished with this segment, we're going to be bringing on two political candidates. So keep it right, buddy. We're going to take a caller right now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Good evening, everyone. This is Jesus from the Jesus Show. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Jesus.
Honor to you, Ashley McKenzie. It's an honor from one mother, one sister to another, have a son named Jalen, 3 years younger than your son, that left about 65 days before your son. But I'm not here about me, but I can relate, sister, not to the way that your son left, but to lose my only, like your only biological firstborn son. Mm-hmm. So comfort to you and peace of mind to your other two children, sister. And thank you for speaking up. You helping everybody, who even other people that you talk about Jalen's situation, you know what I'm saying? And as a people, we do need to focus on changing this country. That Pentagon, honey, I'm saying this collectively. I'm not just speaking to Ashley. That Pentagon, it start there. The Department of Justice is responsible, first of all, for all this military guns that Chicago getting and all these other police departments. The evil ones, honey, in that Pentagon is responsible. I'm not saying that the police department, but the headquarters, the birth, the origins of every police department in America, y'all. I know it's a list from here to A to Z. You see what I'm saying? But the Pentagon is where we also need to start. But much love to you, Ashley, from one mother to another. Peace of mind to you, sister. And I speak calmness to the anxiety, baby. There's transformation in this. And thank you for speaking for your son. You speaking for so many sisters, even our sisters who lost a child to disease in the body. You see what I'm saying? So thank you. Much love to you. And I'm going to just enjoy this show. Thank you, Ashley, for your time, sister. Good night, y'all. God bless.
Good night. God bless you too, Jesus. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing those words with Ashley tonight. Jesus is a host on this network as well. She has a show, as she does. And you guys need to check her out. I wanted to ask her when was her next show. All right. So we'll talk a little bit about that later, everybody. We're going to take another call, and then we're going to bring on Reverend Mays. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi. Peace and blessings, Chinchilla.
Hi.
And blessings.
Hi, Sister Betsy.
Sister Ashley. And I'm sorry for your loss of your son and how he was treated. And I also want to thank you for coming on and telling the story, that people can see that this country is still racist. Not only that, I was just watching something, and they're talking about the sundown cities in America. And we have a situation where a young man that was almost beat, he was beaten all in his face. We have another situation where a young man, his head was cut off. He called his mother and told his mother that these white men were following him. And they had found the young man where this is so bad that his head was cut off. But this nation has been a racist nation from the beginning. And if we don't stand up and make our voices heard, like you have done tonight, Ms. Ashley, we have to continuously talk about the brutality of this nation against a people of color. We have to continue it. Don't let nobody stop you from telling the truth. And I want to thank you, Chinchilla, for all that you do and for bringing Ms. Ashley on and telling the story so other mothers can be aware and talk to their children. Thank you so much. And I'm the truther from the front porch. I will be on the 31st of March. Peace and blessings to you both.
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Bessie. All right, we're going to bring on Pastor Mays now. And, yeah, what Sister Bessie was talking about, that was really crazy because the young man did call his mom, and he was afraid and told her that he was afraid because people were following him and everything and, you know, these white men. And police officers in that whole town, they're not doing anything. They don't think it's any coincidence or it's related to what happened to him. Now, that's crazy. How can you think not? Okay, this country, oh boy, this country is just so corrupt and so filled with hatred and racism. It's just craziness. It's craziness. Pastor Mays, how are you tonight?
I'm grieved. Ashley, thank you for sharing your story. I'm a little sensitive because just yesterday I buried my good friend. And it's taken a lot out of me because her son killed her and had attempted to bury her body is what he said. He had, dirt in his fingernails. So I'm sensitive to all of the mental illness and the attacks on our society. And we have a lot of professional people that are in position with mental trauma and illness, and they have been allowed, because they are filling a void like a job, being police officers. And I'm grieving, Ashley, on behalf of you right now. It just intensifies what my work is here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is trying to bring awareness to our people that it's time, because there's enough sensitive people that are not our color that have so much compassion. And I was actually told, you know, that someone of that's in a political position made a statement to me when I mentioned to him that only 3% here in Tulsa voted in our district for the local offices. He said, you know, I've always wondered why the communities that are impoverished really don't speak up for themselves. And that hit me, you know, because I'm like, you're right, you know. And so I know I hadn't done my part before I became an activist. And so, Ashley, the call and the mantle on your life, your son gave you a torch to pass. And to all the mothers across everywhere that have experienced mental traumatic experience, rise up in your communities, please. Get your churches, get your neighborhood, get your community active, get your family members active, get your friends active. When you go to these concerts, have people outside when they're going for entertainment purposes, because the changes are only going to be made when we make them. We are they, and one person can't demand the right to see their child. That is the most craziest thing I have ever heard in my whole life, and I'm so sorry that you have to endure that memory in addition to that. So, that's how I'm doing, sis. That's how I'm doing.
Wow, Francetta, I am so sorry that you are going through what you're going through. I've been so busy, I have had no idea you were going through that. Definitely, oh my God, thank you so much for coming on tonight, Francetta. Thank you so much. And for speaking with Ashley tonight and giving her those words of encouragement and everything. And now, you know, I know that you're going through what you're going through. And my heart goes out to you and to, wow, your best friend. Oh, my gosh. Jeez. The world, oh, my God, the world, everybody, is just totally losing their minds. It's just so much happening in this world. It's just craziness. It's ridiculous, everybody. We definitely have to wake up. We have to wake up, and we have to become so very mindful of this day and age and stay in much prayer, everybody, because of what's happening. I mean, the world is wicked. It's definitely wicked. And we have to pray as never before, everybody. And we have to stand up and speak up as never before. It's not a time to sit down and to keep a shut mouth because you're afraid to speak up. You cannot be afraid to speak up because guess what? People are dying out here. People that don't speak up are being killed. People that speak up are being killed. So you need to speak up. Okay, and the more we speak up and stand up and fight together, the better off things will become. But they will never get any better as long as we continue to be passive and not to fight. It's not a time to give up, okay? It's not a time to give up. So thank you so much, Pastor Mays, and I'm going to bring you back on in a bit. I want to get to my guests, my political candidates, and we're going to talk to them for a few moments here, and Ashley's going to be back in a bit, everybody, so just, you know, keep on listening, invite others to listen as well. Don't forget, if you want to talk, if you have something you want to say to Ashley tonight, or if you want to ask a question to one of the political guests, you must press 1. And again, if you're listening via the World Wide Web, you need to dial 516-453-9133 to talk live on the air tonight with my guest and with me. All right, we're going to on our political candidate for the city of Philadelphia, who is running for city council at large. And her name is Amanda McElmurray. How are you tonight, Amanda?
I'm doing great, Chinchilla. How are you?
I am fine. Yes, fine. Thank you so much. Other than my stomach turning from what happened with Jalen. It's just absolutely crazy, craziness. So, Amanda, before we start talking about your campaign, I know you were listening to Jalen's mother, Ashley. What are your thoughts, like, while you were hearing the story, just what went through your mind?
Yeah, thanks for asking, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, the whole thing is deeply tragic, and, you know, it's just a further symptom and example of our racist police system, which came out of chattel slavery, and, you know, the continued demonization and victimization of Black folks in our country. And, you know, it's like you said, like Ashley said, like the pastor said, it's not going to change until we all are fighting together from the outside, from the inside, changing our laws, changing our policing system. So my condolences to you, Ashley, if you're listening. I'm really sorry that you lost your son.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you so much, Amanda. Wow. All right, so now let's talk about you, Amanda. So you're running for Philadelphia City Council at large. Why are you running? That's the first question that I want to ask. Why are you running? And, yeah, first answer that. Why are you running for City Council at large?
I'm running because I'm a lifelong Philadelphian and I'm an organizer. I've worked in organizing for the past decade around criminal justice reform, around education, around our schools, and around elections and the connection between all of those. And I feel really clear about the ways that my family has struggled when it comes to housing, when it comes to the overdose epidemic. I went to Philly Public Schools, and my mom was a cafeteria worker in our neighborhood school, and I've seen from both the student side and the worker side of how deeply divested we are and how much our students are struggling. So I really, you know, decided to run for council, to continue the work I've been doing, to put power into the hands of our neighbors so that we all have a say in what's happening in our community, and because I really want to shift how things work in Philly around housing, around violence and community safety, around our schools and our parks and our recreation centers. You know, for me, this all wraps up into a holistic approach to community safety because, you know, we're told this lie that the way to keep us safe is by locking up our neighbors and throwing them in jail. But if that was true, then Philly would be the safest city in the world. And, you know, that is clearly not true. You know, we know that the safest communities are the ones that have good paying jobs and the most resources because, yeah, you know, crime happens when people are forced into desperate situations to survive.
Okay. And thank you for answering that while you were running. And now, prior to running for city council at large, what is your political background?
Yeah, so I founded an organization called Reclaim Philadelphia, which does elections work year-round to elect candidates who are aligned with our communities and also hold them accountable and put their feet to the fire when, you know, when they don't do the things that they promise. And we also have done a lot of work around education reform and criminal justice reform. I also ran two different campaigns for State Senator Nikhil Saval, who was an underdog progressive candidate. You know, we won. And Elizabeth Fiedler's campaign, who is now a state representative. And, you know, they've also run on similar platforms across the city of Philadelphia. So.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. All right. That's awesome. And so, and Nikhil, Saval, he, you know, he won. So he's the state representative here. So that's so awesome. Now, with running your campaign now, now I had, you know, the pleasure of meeting you last month and, or the beginning of this month, whenever it was. And, you know, I interviewed you then. And, you know, I was really impressed with a lot of the, you know, the things you said, how you answered the questions. So now tell my listeners here on News Forum, what are your three main areas, the three main areas that you want to tackle here in this city and why?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And it was really great to meet you as well at Chocolatina's event. So yeah, the three things that I'm really looking to focus on council is affordable housing. That includes everything from protections for renters because the rents cost way too much. You know, I want to pass rent control legislation, which would mean that there's a standard for how much rents can increase month to month, so that landlords can't price gouge, and, you know, also create more pathways to homeownership for folks, because, you know, owning a home and being able to stay in a community a long time stabilizes both our lives and our neighborhoods. The other thing is public services, like our parks and our recreation centers and our libraries. Philly has 55 library branches across the city, and the majority of them have not been open nights or weekends. So, you know, I'm really pushing for us to return to a reasonable staffing level because it's incredibly important for young people to have places to go and spend their time. And the third is community safety. You know, those two other things wrap up into this for me, but, you know, again, the communities that are safest are the ones that have the most resources, are the ones that, you know, everybody knows their neighbors and can look out for each other, bring your packages in to make sure they don't get stolen. You know, neighbors can look out for each other to intervene if a kid's getting pulled into some nonsense. So yeah, those are the three main things that I'm fighting for and hope to govern on when I'm elected.
Okay. And also, okay, so those are your three main issues that you want to tackle. Now, as far as in this city, because we know, like, what happened in Memphis, okay, we saw what happened with Tyre Nichols, and now we're hearing about Jalen McKenzie's death at the hands of police officers. As a city council member, if you were to, like, see this happening here in Philadelphia, Philadelphia has corruption as well. So we have cops here that are beating people. We have cops here that are shooting people, you know, not as much as other areas, but it has happened here in the city of Philadelphia. And cops that are not doing their job, they're not protecting and serving as they should, as within the case last week of Marcus Boone, who the police allowed to jump off of an overpass last March 18th of 2022, and he lost his life. He was out there for 3 hours, and the police did nothing but agitate him, torment him. They called the SWAT team out there. They had guns out and everything, and this man feared for his life. He was unarmed, harmless, and suffering from a mental crisis. So in situations such as that, in situations as what happened with Tyre Nichols, in situations with what happened to Jalen McKenzie, as a city council at large person, What would you do? Would you be able to recommend, like, these officers be investigated? I mean, what would your job as a city council at large person, if victims, family victims would come to you, what would you do? What would you say? How would you handle the situation?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So, yeah, and we've had, you know, we've had incidents similar to this in Philly. In 2020, we saw huge uprisings across the city and across the country when Walter Wallace was murdered by police.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, for me, and this is, you know, partially what I've done as an organizer and partially, you know, how I will carry that over into being an elected official, you know, I will meet with the folks impacted by this. You know, I've participated in fundraising efforts for resources, but, you know, that's some of the things I've done as an organizer. But as a city council member, I'll have a lot more power. So one thing that a sitting council member, Kathy Gilmer Richardson, did was call a hearing to have public input on the police contract, because a lot of the ways that police get away with all of these racist actions, with murdering our neighbors, with abusing folks, is because of the ways that their contracts are negotiated. You know, they have qualified immunity. They're not held accountable for their actions. So we really, you know, need to be able to weigh in on those contracts and, you know, how we hold them to account. Philadelphia City Council also has control over our police budgets. So as a council member, I will advocate for taking money away from militarizing police and putting more money into things that prevent violence and that, you know, also hold police accountable. You know, we should have mental health crisis units that go out and respond. And, you know, right now the system of policing is not working for Black folks in this country. It's not working for poor white folks. It's not working for Latinx folks. It's also not working for police. You know, we're asking them to respond to domestic violence situations and robberies and to solve crime and mental health crises. And all we do is give them a gun to do it. So we really, you know, need to ask the question of what problems are we trying to ask police to solve, and how do we shift the entire structure of that so that, you know, they can do the job that we're asking of them well without traumatizing people, you know. And I think if we start to move things in that direction, we'll also start to heal some of the distrust and some of the trauma that is, you know, very much earned by police. So that's, you know, part of.
Okay.
The resources.
Okay.
I think I got it.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Dang. I think I got muted. But, yeah, part of what I'll do as a city council member is shift the resources around policing so that we can invest more in restorative approaches, healing approaches, and community-based approaches, too.
Okay. Okay, it sounds good. Now, here in Philadelphia, so we have city council members, and then we have city council at large members, which you are running for. Please tell everybody, what is the difference between the two?
It's a great question. So Philadelphia City Council has 17 seats. 10 of them are geographic seats based on population. So those are the district council seats. And then there's 7 at-large seats, which is what I'm running for, that represents the entire city of Philadelphia. So the at-large council members don't have to do as much in terms of day-to-day constituent services, you know, dealing with some disputes with neighbors, that sort of stuff. We get to really work on the bigger picture. problems of the city and take a more holistic approach to the entire city instead of just a geographic area.
Okay, awesome. So we have like the different councilmen and the different districts, like District 1, 2, and so on and so forth. And basically they have to just deal with their constituents and the issues in those communities that they've been elected to, whereas a council at large person can tackle any community. They can go in and work with any area. So basically that's what happens, correct? So you can go into any area, like South Philly, North Philly, West Philly, Northeast, wherever you, wherever someone needs you, you can go. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Every person in Philadelphia is the constituent of an at-large council member.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, last question I have for you. And then, well, as a matter of fact, wait, stay right there, Amanda. Let me take a caller first, and then I have one more question for you. Caller, you're live on the Urban News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. How are you tonight? Welcome to News Forum.
Oh, hello. How are you doing, Chinchilla? Didn't quite know that it was me that you were, you know, allowing to speak.
Hold on, Tony. Yeah, that's Antonia Bass right there. I don't know. You know what? That might be you, Chinchilla. Mute you. Okay, go ahead. Antonia, I apologize. That was Chinchilla's line. Go ahead and speak. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you letting me in. So please bear with me. You know, while I'm trying to get through some things to talk, I just wanted to ask you, and I wanted to first say hello, Chinchilla. I have to admit, I've been admiring the way you've been holding it down. And you all have been very good, you know, especially the women on this network, WBNN, for Women's Month. It's wonderful to see that people understand that, you know, all this unselfishness about not supporting people for when they do right out here and try to make sure that the community is held together is really admirable, even on your behalf, Chinchilla. But I wanted to say it's wonderful to see that you're upholding the platforms for the voting rights and how you're supporting your good friend there. And as a matter of fact, I was hoping you would ask her if she would provide the lever number, or however they ask you to provide a number when you pull the buttons or the levers on the voting booth, so we'll know who to make sure we are selecting the numbers for next to their names in case somebody does not want to vote for everybody within a particular party. And also how she would look at how she'd like to handle issues on crime as well as the school board, it sounds as if what she's doing, because it's really wonderful to know that some people can try to cover the big picture on the for the seat that she's trying to get request, and mostly because, you know, it's going to be very difficult, but if she has the right cabinet members, I'm sure they would help her on trying to keep all of the issues pretty much covered. So, and I wanted to say to the young lady who spoke about her son, and I've been hearing about, you know, too much of this going on. I heard last week another young lady who had an issue with her son being killed, and I don't know if it was the issue of a mental illness crisis that was involved with her situation, but I've been hearing too many of these things happening, even in the realm of people who come from abroad to live here. You can tell mostly by the dialect. I think up in New York or somewhere where her son was pretty much, as she would consider it, massacred, and at the unfortunately the hand of three black male police officers, so it wasn't a white-on-black crime thing or anything, because it's really getting out of hand, and we need to understand the mentality of these individuals do need to be tested and to uphold for people just because they work on the side of the law. It's not enough. I know of some police officers who are very good people, and it's a shame because they have to be careful plus protect people they're not even familiar with. So, you know, you're doing a great job holding it down, Chinchilla. You don't need me to say it. I just say it because it's not every day that people really want to stick their foot out there and want to support people in their time of crises and in a case such as this during the voting platform. So you're more well covered covering the subject than I would, because I don't have all the information that you do, and just to see you just pull it all together and work with everyone, it's really nice to see. So thank you, Chinchilla, and you have a great day, and you too, young lady. I wish you the very best. Please provide your lever numbers, because come May, I want to make sure that I get the right persons.
Outstanding. Our longest tenured, wonderful broadcaster, Antonia Batts, and she's on tomorrow night, guys, so get a chance to listen to it. Informational guru. The reason why I muted you, Amanda, because you had some feedback. So I'll try to fix that. You know, and that's why, you know, I'm trying to make sure the continuity of the show. So now I'm bringing back on Dr. Chinchilla J. Before I do that, we do have another caller. Then we'll bring back on the great Dr. Chinchilla J. Caller, you're live right now with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi. Hi, Chinchilla. This is Mo Farman calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Mo. How are you?
I am okay, Chinchilla. I'm calling to support your show. Very informative, as always. I just don't have the words for your guests, your first guests. They've gone through just so much, and I wanted to let them know that they are supported during this difficult time, and I want to thank you for bringing all this information to the forefront. You're just a wealth of information, Chinchilla.
Wow, thank you. I try to be. Yeah, so when you heard that, you know, what happened to her son, what went through your mind, Mo?
Actually, it brought back some horrible memories for me. My brother was killed when I was twenty years old in Philadelphia in a drive-by shooting. So, and nobody did anything. So it was like I was going through what she was going through, but then I had these flashbacks. I was like, oh my gosh, what happened there? They weren't related, but it still took me back to a difficult time in my life. And my heart just went out to her because I couldn't imagine. I know how I felt with that situation, and the police were cooperative. I could only imagine. I can't even imagine how she was going through what she went through. I can't even imagine that.
Wow. Well, Mo, I thank you so much for sharing that tonight with me, with the listeners, and with the guests tonight. And thank you so much for calling in. Tell everyone when your next show is, Mo. Mo is the host on this network as well, everyone.
Sure. My next show is this Friday, March the 24th, and I'll have a special guest, energy healer Felicia Garrett, and we'll be discussing the effects of trapped emotions and how to release them.
Unmuted.
Wow, awesome. Again, thank you so much, Mo. That's Mo Garman, everybody. Breaking the Silence is the name of her show, and she does a wonderful job on this network, as well as all the women on this network. They all do an awesome job. And we're going to go ahead now and start back talking with our conversation. I have one more question for Amanda tonight, and that question is in the area of gentrification. And, you know, with gentrification, as I talk about often, people that move into the new developments that are going up and even the newly reconstructed homes that are going up, they are still receiving this 10-year tax abatement where they don't have to pay any property taxes for 10 years which that was supposed to be done away with last year. It was supposed to be done away with the year before that, but yet it's still in place. So as a city council member, what would you do? I mean, do you think it's fair that people are coming in here, moving into this city? Most of them are coming from the suburbs. They're coming from New York and other areas of this country, and they're moving here. And they're not paying property taxes for 10 long years, while people that are in these communities that have been long-term homeowners, their taxes are skyrocketing, going up every year. For a prime example, for 2 years, the property taxes, they didn't go up too much because of COVID. So now here in 2023, people who were paying, let's say for instance, hypothetically, they were paying $750 for their taxes for the year. And now those same people for 2023, their taxes have doubled. So they may have been paying $750 before, but now 2023, they get a tax bill for because of a reassessment that have been, you know, that's gone on now throughout the city. And now they have to pay $1,500 in property taxes. Where a lot of these people in certain communities, you have a lot of senior citizens and then low-income people, but yet they're homeowners and they're on a fixed income, and now they cannot afford to pay their property taxes. And now the city did, you know, up the amount for the homestead, but $80,000, you know, is what's deducted from the actual assessment. But look, that is still making people pay far more than they paid. And I'm going to give you a prime example. I know someone who's paying. Okay, as a matter of fact, prime example, I can use Pennsylvania Historical Vincent, exoneree Vincent Moto, because he let me know his property taxes went up. And he is now, well, they're trying to make him pay, I think it's actually almost triple of what he was paying before. And he's on a fixed income, Social Security, and disability, I mean. And so he can't afford that, even with the homestead. And then I have some senior citizens that called me. They can't afford theirs, even with the homestead. And other people that can't afford to pay their taxes now because of this increase in these reassessments. And they're not getting any help, and the city is being unfair with allowing others to move in here and get a 10-year tax-free, a ride for 10 years. It's not fair. So now we're going to see more people displaced because they cannot afford to pay their property taxes. And I'm talking about long-term homeowners, and it's not fair. So I want to know your thoughts on that, Amanda, and, you know, if you're elected to become city council at large, the next member, what do you plan on doing? Are you going to tackle that issue?
Yeah, great question.
So,
a little bit of feedback. I think that's better. Okay. So I'm in favor of getting rid of the 10-year tax abatement completely. It's been proposed to phase it out, but we just need to get rid of it completely. You know, it's largely just a giveaway to big corporate developers. And, you know, we need to make Philly a place that can be affordable to live here long term. You know, I think it's great that people want to move to Philly as a lifelong Philadelphian, but it can't be at the expense of the people that have been here, you know, that have made the city what it is and that have really built the community. One of the problems with the homestead exemption is that you have to apply to get it. You know, that's an exemption. We should just have automatic enrollment if you're eligible. We shouldn't have to apply. Also, many people are appealing their property tax assessments, but you know, we need to shift the system around how we actually assess these properties, because it's incredibly arbitrary. I heard from someone recently where every single property on their block was valued at $720,000, regardless of the condition of the home, how old it is, how big it is. It's completely arbitrary. And that's in a gentrifying neighborhood where they have a lot of incentive to drive out the remaining of the lower income folks who have held out and have been able to stay there and not get pushed out of the neighborhood yet. So we really need to shift how we're also assessing these property taxes. There is a program called LOOP. It's long-term owner-occupied. I forget what the P stands for. I think it's property, where you get some assistance with your property taxes. But again, there's a huge barrier to entry because you have to know about that program. You have to apply for it, figure out how to, you know, take time off of work and get into it. We should just automatically be enrolling folks in it. People automatically get this 10-year tax abatement when they buy these huge McMansions that look like they're made out of Legos and that, you know, fall apart and don't even last the life of their mortgage and cost $500,000 or more. You know, we need for, you know, working class people who have made this city, who are majority Black and brown, to be automatically enrolled in relief as well. And, you know, those 10-year tax abatements take money directly out of our schools. All of that money that is not being paid to the city directly takes out of the Philadelphia School District. And, you know, also big institutions like the University of Pennsylvania, which is the largest property owner in the city of Philadelphia and the largest employer in the city of Philadelphia, don't pay anything in real estate taxes, which, again, takes money directly out of our schools. So, you know, we need the people with the most to actually pay their fair share, because those of us with the least are, you know, are carrying the load for them.
Wow. Thank you so much, Amanda. Yeah, and the LOOP program, yeah, that is another program, and, you know, but actually they don't really save money right away. And it's called the Long-Time Owner Occupants Program. And, you know, and that with the homestead, and then it's, you know, another program. And, you know, even with those programs, unfortunately, since these reassessments have come out this year, people still cannot afford to pay their taxes. Even with installment plans in place, they still cannot afford to pay their taxes. If they were paying $50 a month for an installment plan, and now this year that went to $150 for some people, and they cannot afford to pay that. And it's so really ridiculous. It's just, and you're so right. People should not have to apply for any of these programs to help them. They should automatically be enrolled in them. And it's just not fair. It's crazy. It's absolute insanity. But I thank you so much, Amanda, for answering that and what you plan on doing with that tax assessment. And I think that's great, because I'm in total agreement with you. It should not be there. It should have been done away with. Should have never been in place in the first place. So thank you so much, Amanda. So just hang on the line. We're going to take a few more callers because someone may have a question for you or for Ashley. Caller, you're live on the Edward News Forum. How are you tonight?
Yo, this is Clever 1-1 half of the Bully Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where you can hear all your next-door neighbor's business through the wall when the TV ain't on. Property tax, you know what I'm saying? But how's everything tonight? First of all, Clev, one want to give a shout out, and you know, may light be shined upon all the hearts of the strong mothers who lost their soldiers out here. Because, you know, Clev, one is a general to a large army. Y'all seen 300? You see what I'm saying? So I lose my soldiers all the time. You feel me? So yes, we in a war with the battle. But I want to say something real quick, and this is going to be brief. You know what I mean? Because first of all, I'm going to say this. If we're going to stand up and fight against this nonsense here, this is what we need to stop doing here. people with your non-property taxpaying selves. Stop moving places, right, and not speaking to your neighbors. You have your children with you. You don't speak to your neighbors. So that's what you're teaching your children, not to speak to the neighbors. So, you know, they don't have any relationships with them, any communications with them, where the neighbors don't wish to talk to your children, and your children do not wish to talk to the neighbors. You know, I mean, that's the first thing. The second thing is this. Everybody don't like you. You know what I'm saying? Stop thinking everybody like you. You know what I'm saying? You know, we know you got body magic on and all that. You feel what I'm saying? You done painted your face. You know, you look beautiful. Yeah, I'm every woman. I know y'all was listening to that. You understand? But hold on, though. You gotta make associations and, you know, sharpen up some mentors. You need more association with chaperoning with men, with some men. You get what I mean? You know, if you ain't going to speak to them, let your children speak to them. You feel what I'm saying? Just because you're cute, that don't mean that, you know what I'm saying, everybody want to flirt with you just because they said words to you. You see what I'm saying? So, boom, because we need more men around. We're around these children that's growing up. Now, and then third of all, the two things together, what this creates is, you know, alienating your children, meaning that you're sending them on their own planets. You see what I'm saying? You're giving them and you're removing them, you're making themselves, removing themselves from society and civilization and all this kind of stuff, leaving them to make irresponsible decisions for themselves with ignorance. You know what I'm saying? That ignorance plus the ignorance of these coward police, you know what I mean? I like to call them 40-year-old virgins and things like that, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they got to take they frustration out on somebody. So those 1 + 1 = 2 people, evil, and remember, evil has no color. You know what I'm saying? I'm Clever One, one half for the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where you might got to drive to work with bags of trash in your back seat because you forgot to take the trash out last night, and the trash man is having a 40-ounce party at behind Ada Lewis over there up in West Oak Lane. Check your satellites.
All right, before we go into our final thoughts, we got one more caller, and thank all the callers for calling in. Caller, you're live right now with News Farm. How are you tonight?
I'm good. This is Tiana Speaks. I want to say hi to all the guests and just say hi to Dr. Gentile. I just kind of like moved today just by just all the story that you ever do on your show. You know, it's really sad. Like, and it's even though I don't know these people, it's like my heart really goes out to them, especially when they lose. You know, like I don't have any kids, and the only thing I can equate it to is just, you know, losing someone that I love. But I know it's not the same from losing, you know, a child that came from you, from your blood. And it's almost as if the only safest way is to keep them locked in the house to be safe, but you can't do that. That's not realistic, you know. But I really appreciate you getting these stories out because I know a lot of people aren't aware of what really goes on. Even myself, I know what goes on, but it's like hearing these people and telling these stories, I know that you give them healing, you know. And if your guests are still listening, you know, any guest that is listening that, you know, has been on this show, I wish you the most healing possible. I wish you the best outcome possible after you had to go through these horrific events, you know. My heart really goes out to you. I will be saying, you know, prayers for you, you know. I just wanted to be brief, so... You know, I'm very sorry, you know, that this is, and I'm sorry that things happened and it was so unfair, you know, like it just shouldn't happen this way, especially if something bad happened and then you get treated like, you know, like a criminal for things that are not supposed to go this way. People should be helping, you know, when something bad happens like this. It's really a shame, you know, my heart really, like, you know, like, man, this is, it's terrible. And you know, it really is. I'm so sorry. So on that note, I will be saying a prayer, you know, to keeping every guest that's been on the show in my prayers. And I am the host of The Power of Thoughts. My next show is April 7th. And I will be speaking, giving some life advice and speaking about giving back to the community. And there will be a show that is before my birthday. So I'm really big on giving back. It's 365 days you had to give back to someone else. So, and that's all. And thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much, Tiana. That was Tiana Speaks, everyone. Thank you so much, Tiana. Now, before we get into the final thoughts with my special guest tonight, you know, like I said, this world is just ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy with all of the craziness that's going on, everybody. It's things that we just look at and say, how? Why? Because some things are just so ridiculous, like, you know, like stuff that we see in these movies, and, you know, which I just can't get the thought out of my mind, you know, of what happens to our black men that get gunned down by police officers, our blacks killing each other, okay? But then the heinous crimes committed by racist people, how we have been lynched for many years, and we're still experiencing modern-day lynchings. And the crime that took place in Mississippi, you know, it's just something that's just so ridiculous and crazy. Because if this was not a case of racism, then please tell me what is, okay? Because any time a young man is going to call his mom and he's going to tell his mom he fears for his life because he's being followed, and also, if anything happens to me, then it would be my boss that did it because he has men that he wants to kill him, you know? And he said he think his boss has men that wanted to kill him. And he instructed, she instructed him to go to police. And he did, but the police would not help this man, okay? The police would not help him. And that is so very wrong. And it's so crazy because he wasn't just killed, okay? But his body, it was found like in a wooded area, like 63 miles from Jackson, Mississippi. And it's just really crazy. How can, okay, his body, it was dismembered, everybody. So if you don't know what dismembering is, it's cutting your body up into pieces, chopping it up. 2 dozen bones and fragments were found scattered across 2 acres, everybody. Okay? And then the animals, they, you know, ate up his remains. I mean, this is just crazy. It's crazy. And yet, the authorities, they want to say that it's not racism. They don't think that it had anything to do with his phone call to his mother. Now, is that crazy or is that crazy? Okay? That is ridiculous. But he told his mother that white men were following him in trucks trying to kill him. The authorities did absolutely nothing when he went to them. So he's dead now because they did nothing. And it's just sad. It's a sad situation in this country. And that's Mississippi. So we know Mississippi is already a racist state, okay? And, you know, racism was prevalent in Tennessee. Racism is prevalent all over this country. And it has to stop, but it won't, because racism will always exist, unfortunately. We have to continue to speak up and speak out. And when we have these racist police departments and sheriffs and everything that will not do anything because they, too, are racist, then guess what? We have to get them out of office, get them out of those seats, and speak up and stand up for what's right. And it's just so ridiculous what's going on in this country. It's getting worse and worse with this prevalent racism, and it's just horrible and horrendous. And it has to stop. It has to stop, people. And we have to make it stop. All right, let me bring Amanda back on. Amanda, I thank you so much for being a guest tonight, and I want to give you time for your final thoughts tonight, Amanda.
All right, Amanda had to go, so we're going to say go ahead. Sorry about that. A little feedback in your line there, Chinchilla. Amanda had to go, so I want to definitely bring back on the young lady that has really touched our heart tonight. And my heart goes out to you as a father. You know, I don't even know, Ashley. I mean, it's just a sad situation. Definitely my prayers with you and your family and for justice to be served. Your final thoughts tonight.
All right. Thank you so much. I really just want to thank everyone for their comments. And I did want to leave a comment for the gentleman that did come on. And just to say that every child does not have a support system. So just because someone may get in a situation does not mean that they do not have father figures or males that are in their lives. I think just in the times that we're living in, it just seems like we have went backwards, and we're raising this younger generation in times that were my grandmother's time or my mother's times where police brutality has just taken over, and like you said, racism and things like that. We just went 50 years backwards versus forward. And for children to get out of the car and feel like they have to run, that should be the real message that we're trying to change, is the police and in the community's relationship. That's what's really important. If they felt like they had to get out the car and run, that means there was a fear. We don't know whether or not the Scorpion unit was in that works that area, but it is a high crime area, so I'm pretty sure it was that they do work that area. But that's what really bothers me the most, is that they were that uncomfortable for police to stop them. That is what the sad part of the whole situation is. That the traffic stop turned deadly. That is what's the saddest part of the whole story.
Yes, that is very sad. You know, traffic stop turned deadly like that. And the answers have to be there. They are there. And you will get them. And we know that it's definitely a cover-up right now. They're trying to do whatever they need to do to hide whatever they've done, and it's just ridiculous. They said all three males were armed, but yet they don't have any weapons. They have not provided any answers. They would not allow anybody to see your son, not even his father. No autopsy report provided, and it's just so wrong, Ashley, and my heart definitely goes out to you tonight. My heart aches for you and for your family, and just stay strong, continue to pray, and to seek God, and, you know, ask God for guidance and for healing, because you need to be healed, you need to be focused so that you can continue to fight, and you need prayer warriors there for you. And so we're going to definitely pray for you. And right now, actually, before we go into Ngozi time, we're going to bring back on Pastor Francetta Mays so that she can pray for you, Ashley. Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. I just want us all just to have a heart posture right now. It's a requirement that when we go before the Father that we search our hearts and just ask God to forgive us for our sins, seen and unseen, so that we can go with a pure heart before the Father. We get to go, and we go into a secret place when we do that. So I just want everybody in their mind right now, let's get on one accord and ask for forgiveness for our sins, seen and unseen. You can do that privately. Father God, I just thank you I thank you that we get to speak life and we get to speak over these situations. Father God, you selected Job. You said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Ashley? Father God, we know that the cross is heavy to bear. And right now, I just speak life over this young woman of God, that her voice shall ricochet from the north, south, east, and west, Father God, that she will bring a new awareness and clarity to the people, that it's time to rise up and let our voices be heard. It's time to take action. Lord, she didn't know it, but you had this planned. So, God, right now, we just thank you for all of those that you had a plan for. God, we don't understand what your thoughts or your ways are, but we do know that our days are numbered. And so now we ask that you penetrate the communities, Father God, that we may rise up so that we may support and vote for the right people in office. And Father God, let us be aware of those that have not done anything, and to make our awareness be known in these communities, to take down those that are not willing to see the vision of unity, togetherness, peace, and to focus on homelessness and mental illness and gun violence and the things that are important in our communities that we are having to deal with. Father God, we just thank you that there's a cloud of protection that we get to walk under just being your children. And now, God, I ask for a solidarity to rivet across the land, that we all realize that we are one and we're together. And I ask for a continued blessing over Dr. Chinchilla and Brother O for the efforts that they do, as well as everyone that's connected to them and their shows. Father, let there be no lack. Let there be no lack. And we seal this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Little ghetto boy, playing in the ghetto street. What you gonna do when you grow up and have to face responsibility? Will you spend your days and nights in a pool room? Will you say believe in yourself and all that you
It got to get better, y'all. It really got to get better because WBNN is all about progression. And what Dr. J does every single week is outstanding, progressive, and spectacular. Tomorrow night, we come back on these story outstanding hosts with the Story Network with a young lady who's been here for 10 years. So proud of her. Her name is Antonia Batts, and the name of the show is called Informational Guru, 9:30 Eastern Daylight, right here on the Story Network. And, of course, Beverly Nation is advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia, at Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter, and Ngozi underscore time. Ola Dali Malaywa Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Ola.Dele.Ngozi@my@gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dali Malaywa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. In our neighborhoods, let's get better. And now back to our fifth reigning commissioner and also the 2022 WBNN Host of the Year, Dr. Chinchilla J. Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Earl. I want to thank all of my guests tonight. Amanda McElmurray, who's running for Philadelphia City Council at large. Also, my special guest, Ashley McKenzie Smith. Mother of Jalen Smith, I keep saying Jalen Smith, mother of Jalen McKenzie, who was shot and killed by Memphis police officers. And again, Ashley, my heart goes out to you. I thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story and Jalen's story. And we will definitely have you back again once things start to develop and answers are found and all of that. And Ashley will be on Mike Test Entertainment TV Studio News one day this week. We have not yet scheduled that day, but it will be one day this week, next week at the very latest. And this Tuesday night on Mike Test Entertainment TV Studio News will be Denise Singleton, who was on News Forum last Sunday. And she's going to be talking about the murder of her son, who was shot 7 times here in the city of Philadelphia. And the anniversary of his death will be coming up in May 11th. And my heart still goes out to Denise and to her family, which is another tragic case. And again, we want to remember Marcus Brookins, who yesterday, his one-year memorial service took place at the site where he dove off the 95 overpass there in Northeast Philadelphia. My heart goes out to Karen Brookins and her family, Marcus's sister Jasmine, his half-sister Whitney, and all of their family and friends who loved Marcus. Yesterday's memorial was very touching. And we thank everyone that showed up to support the Brookins family. So everybody, just continue to stand up and speak out against injustice. If you have not done so yet, I encourage and urge and beseech you to do so. Speak up, speak out against injustice, and stand up and fight for justice, fight for what's right. And don't be quiet. And whatever you're fighting for, don't ever give up. Continue to fight. Continue to push through. No matter if you become weary and tired and discouraged, push yourself to continue to fight. Because guess what? If you give up, the battle is already lost. So continue to fight. Even when it seems like nothing is happening, things are not moving, things are not falling in place, continue to fight, everybody. You have to. Tune in next Sunday night right here for News Forum, where next Sunday night, my special guest will be Pastor Francetta Mays, who you all heard tonight. And next Sunday, she's going to be my special guest simply because next Sunday is the last month, not the last month, but the last Sunday of Women History Month. So next Sunday night, Pastor Mays will be one of the women I will be speaking to who are making history in the present day. And she continues to push through no matter what she goes through, and she never gives up. And so we're going to be speaking with her next week as my special guest. And next week we will also have WBNN women who I will be speaking to who are making history in this present day. So it's going to be an awesome show. And, hey, make sure you guys tune in next Sunday night for News Forum. Don't forget, if you want to reach me during the week, 844-642-8378. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 888. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to like and follow me on Facebook, and also like and follow Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page, all separate words. And again, I am Chinchilla Jonesia. And remember, everybody, to always, always be a voice. Take a listen to how you can be a guest on News Forum and how you can donate to be a voice.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour, that's capital B-E-A-V-O-I-C-E, lowercase T-O-U-R. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/BEAVOICE. venmo.com/u/BA Voice. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 111. If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest.